This is Side Podcast episode 19, part 2, Monaco GP.
He's still awake.
Yeah, it was rubbish.
It's okay, I needed to sleep in the Sunday afternoon.
It's all my fault for like being so excited about it.
Right.
It was bound to be rubbish.
How did it start?
It was a good start. Very clean, no accidents.
Not one. I cannot believe it. I'd have put the house on the fact that someone was going to mess up in the first corner.
No one did. Hamilton dived to the right to protect his space from Massa, which is very good. He's always good at the start, isn't he? Barrichello gained two places and Button lost one. Very good. Well done. And Raikkonen had a great start and moved up to 12th from 16th. But then he was stuck behind Button for ages.
Button seems to be quite a roadblock in Monaco, didn't he?
Yeah, but then at the same time, Raikkonen wasn't like right behind him, no. Threatening to overtake at any point.
No, fair enough.
Liuzzi hit the barriers on the second lap, but it was only yellow flags, no safety car, so Alonso had a chance to get a bit of a lead.
Kind of undid all his good work from qualifying yesterday.
And then we saw him walking back to the pits looking very sad. Alonso and Hamilton were pulling away from everybody else. Massa was dropping back in third place, and then Heidfeld was behind him, and he was holding everybody up. There was a huge gap.
He started on funny tyres, didn't he, compared to everybody else?
Funny tyres.
Well, okay, a different choice of tyres to everybody else.
I think there were three drivers that started on the soft tyres.
And they weren't working so well in the beginning of the race, were they?
No.
Although, obviously, he seemed to move up a couple of positions, so maybe into the first corner they were a bit stronger, but after that they kind of went off a bit.
Guess who retired next?
Was it Webber?
It might have been Webber. He had all kinds of problems, but I think it was mostly he lost third gear, didn't he? Which is weird, because Coulthard did that.
Second race in a row.
Yeah. Because it's a short circuit, it wasn't long before they were lapping people.
No.
It seemed like traffic was quite a problem today.
I'm not sure why I guess maybe it was the McLarens were so much faster than everybody else, but why the front of the pack caught up with the back of the pack so quickly? That did seem quite unusual. Usually it's around the time of the first pit stops, but it was way before that, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Trulli moved out of the way to let Alonso through, and he let a Super Guri through as well, which is funny.
Oops.
And then they all seemed to hold Hamilton up, which was good. Well done, Trulli. Alonso was the first McLaren to pit, and he must have been thankful because he came out in clear air.
Yeah.
There was a good bit of commentary by James Allen.
Oh, what did he say this time?
He said, right, let's go through the race order then. Your race order. Hamilton is leading. And then he just stopped. That's it. Just Hamilton.
That's all that mattered to him.
Yep. I think he just wanted an excuse to say it, really.
That's brilliant. Well done.
But then Hamilton pitted. It was a good pit stop. They're getting to be a bit like Ferrari in their pit stop efficiency. But even so, he came out and Alonso was miles ahead. Couldn't even see him in shot or anything. Anthony Davidson got a drive-through penalty for ignoring blue flags, but he says that he didn't think it was very fair.
Well, the Ferrari guy said he held him up five laps, which would be, I think that's kind of due a penalty. If he held him for 2 seconds a lap for five laps, that's quite a blocking manoeuvre, but he seems to dispute that, so not too sure what's going on there.
He said he thought he was being made an example of, and that, you know, traffic was a problem in general, not just him.
Well, it was a problem, that's true. I guess, you know, someone's always going to get punished that race, and his car wasn't the quickest car, and I guess he just needs to be maybe more aware of other drivers.
Raikkonen was one stopping, and he pitted on lap 48, and then Kovalainen had a right rear puncture, which meant an extra pit stop for him.
He hit something, didn't he?
Did he?
I think he hit a barrier and that caused a puncture, so it was his own doing.
In the second round of pit stops, Alonso was in first again, but this time he came out a bit cautiously, having changed to the super soft tyres. It didn't seem to affect him that much, though. He was still fast.
I think by that point he might have got the call from the McLaren guys to say, well, the fight's now over, you're in the lead, you're leading the second round of pit stops. And just nurse the car home, take it easy now, because he didn't look at all bothered, did he? It wasn't a guy who was defending his first place at all.
Well, Hamilton pitted then came out behind him, and they were sort of... I mean, he did look like he was trying to catch him up, Hamilton did.
Yes.
But...
I think maybe he was trying to prove a point, though. Like, yeah. I could have done it if you'd just give me a couple more laps, or, you know, hadn't got stuck behind that traffic. I was quicker, but, you know, I think Ron had already told him to calm down by then. They had the race in the bag, didn't they?
And Massa was drifting further and further behind. It was like 18 seconds, and it was 30 seconds, and it was 50 seconds.
He's not a fan of that track, is he?
No.
Got to be said, he didn't hook it up. A couple of times he went straight onto the swimming pool section. Not, you know, he jumped the curbs and maybe did a little bit of damage, but it's not his best race of the year.
And Soutier was the second and only other casualty of the barriers.
Yep. Same place as Liuzzi, wasn't it?
Hamilton was pushing right till the end, because afterwards he said he did touch the barriers a few times. But his car is so strong, affect it.
It has to be said that I know the teams do bring stronger components just for Monaco, because obviously people will tend to damage them more on the barriers. So I guess they put some extra strong wishbone arms at the front and the back or whatever, and luckily he managed to get away with it.
You're listening to Side Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, subscribe via iTunes. You can voice your opinion by leaving us a review. The final result was Alonso, and then Hamilton and Massa, then Fisichella, Kubica, Heidfeld, Wurz and Raikkonen, who picked up a point, which is good, but not as good as Schumacher did last year.
He did much better. He did a far better job. He started from the pit lane and he ended up, fifth?
Fifth.
And the Ferrari did have a car advantage last year, which Raikkonen doesn't seem to have this year. And he did seem to struggle with the balance and setup of the car throughout the race. So a bit of a save considering where he started from.
So it's all changed in the Drivers' Championship. Alonso and Hamilton have joint points with 38, but Alonso is actually in the lead because he has won a couple of races. Massa is on 33, and Raikkonen drops back even further on 23, but really he was lucky to get 1 point this race, and Heidfeld has 18. The Constructors' Championship has McLaren well out in front with 76, Ferrari are behind with 56, BMW have 30 and Renault have 16.
That's a significant difference between first and fourth, isn't it?
So, really, the only highlights of the day for me were the fact that Hamilton has never lost a race at Monaco until today.
You are mean.
Weber retired just like we said he would.
Yep.
And Prince Albert of Monaco almost knocked himself out with a trophy. When he was giving it to Alonso.
Just a little bit top heavy.
It is a big trophy. Why don't they just make it a bit smaller? Other than that, it was a bit of a yawn fest.
Well, I mean, it was good to see Renault sort of end up in fourth place. That was pretty good. Fisichella was running light at the beginning section, so his qualifying position was a little bit above where he really should have been. But they made the strategy work. He had a clean race, no kind of on-track competition, and he ended up in a pretty good position.
It was kind of like everyone had their own separate races.
Yes.
And no one crashed, so it wasn't interesting from that point of view.
Nope.
And no one was like right behind anyone else or challenging that hard for position.
There wasn't a single overtaking manoeuvre on track, was there? Did you see anybody pass anybody?
No.
No, only in the pits.
Yeah.
That's not great. So, no, you're right. It wasn't a blinding Monaco Grand Prix. And the weather, you know, had that intervened, that would have made a bit of an improvement, wouldn't it? As it happened, it was dry the whole time. So we had no additional pit stops. We had no safety car period, which is unusual for Monaco. And so you basically end up with not a classic race.
I'm disappointed.
You love Monaco.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best thing. No, I really was struggling to stay awake at the end.
This week, Ron Dennis was complaining that Red Bull spend all their time on newspaper and media things instead of concentrating on their cars. This kind of proves that he might be right.
Well, I mean, he's criticising the Red Bulletin. Now, it's a newspaper that is loved by pretty much everybody in the paddock. Everybody, first thing they do is wander down to the Red Bull motorhome, pick up their copy of the Red Bulletin, just to see what the gossip is, read all the stories, check out the cartoons. It's like a inside magazine, you know, people within the pit, they love it. And to go around criticising that magazine in the way that Ron did, it's not possible.
They must have said something horrible about him in there.
Oh, I'm sure they say things horrible about everybody, but that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it enjoyable. That's what makes it interesting. That, you know, it's live, it's happening on the paddock. They're saying what they, you know, what people want to hear in some ways. And I kind of get the impression it's like kicking a rabid dog at the backside just to see if it's going to bite you. If I say something really nasty about this magazine, then what they're going to print. So you can expect some really, really bad things to be said on there about Ron in the future. So apart from making videos this week, what else have you been up to?
The only other thing I've been up to is superseding your Twitter.
Oh, thanks.
No one uses Twitter anymore.
What are the cool kids using now?
It's all about Jaiku.
It's all about what?
It's called Jaiku.
How is that spelled?
Which is Jaiku.
Right.
It's basically the same thing, but 10 times better.
Oh, it would be. What you can do is,
you've got your little space to put in your posts with your certain number of letters.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also put in your other feeds, like your delicious links or your Flickr photos or even your Twitter posts, so that if anyone subscribes to your Jaiku feed, they get all that stuff automatically.
Okay, so instead of anybody having to go to Delicious and to Flickr and to subscribe to all the side podcast stuff, They just go to this one place now, don't they?
And get it all at once.
Like aggregated information.
Absolutely. And the other cool thing is that you can comment on people's, whatever they're called. Jaikus.
Jaikus, not Twitters anymore then. Yeah, tweets.
No.
Okay, so if you make a comment, someone can, if you make a statement, someone can then...
comment on it instead of all that at thing that happens in Twitter. It's weird to have a conversation in Twitter, whereas this you can actually comment on an actual post.
If somebody wants to jaiku us, is that the phrase? Is that what you say?
I don't know.
Right.
Possibly.
Okay. If somebody wants to jaiku us, what do they do?
Well, you can go to sidepodcast.jaiku.com, or probably easier, there is a link on the homepage, sidepodcast.com.
Okay. I'll look out for it then.
There's no race next weekend, but don't worry, we still have lots to talk about. We'll be catching up with some news, like the fact that Formula One is going to be going green.
Oh, Lord.
There'll be plenty to talk about, don't worry.
I'll start making some notes now, shall I?